This message comes from NPR sponsor Viore, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to viore.com/NPR.
For NPR Music, you're connected to All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. Ah, the sounds of birds. When the pandemic first hit, Randall Poster, a New York City resident, noticed not only the hush of the city, but became hyper-aware of the birds in his neighborhood.
I have a colleague who I've worked with over the years named Rebecca Reagan, who is a pretty active conservationist, environmentalist. And we were talking about it, and she said, well, I have this idea that I'm calling For the Birds, where we would invite artists, musicians to create music built around bird song to celebrate the joys and the beauty in bird song, and by drawing attention to it would also make people aware of the various crises facing bird life.
And so Randall Poster, a music supervisor for filmmakers including Wes Anderson and Martin Scorsese, began to reach out to the various artists in his musical world to see if there was interest in creating songs and audio based around birds. Their project, For the Birds, the Bird Song Project, is a collection of 242 original songs and poems about birds by artists from all walks of life, including Laurie Anderson, John Cale, Alice Coltrane, Cassandra Jenkins, Yo-Yo Ma, Nick Zinner, Beck, The Flaming Lips, Terry Riley, and of course Andrew Bird and Jeff Tweedy. I begin the conversation with Randall Poster wondering about the first recordings he received.
You know, I figured starting out that film composers would be a good place to start because generally they have home studios. They tend to be able to be responsive to sort of abstract notions or inspirationals. The first track that we got in was by Nick Cave and Warren Ellis 4 days after we asked for it.
Awesome. Let me play a little bit of Nick Cave, Warren Ellis, song called Wood Dove. Remember your reaction when you heard?
Yeah,
this.
I mean, I kind of lost my mind. I mean, it not only did it arrive in 4 days, but it's also, you know, it's a proper Nick Cave song, and you know, the story I was told is that like Warren had recorded this track and had been in the fields with the birds, and Nick actually recorded his vocal on an iPhone in a taxi on his way from Brighton to London. So I can only imagine what the cab driver was thinking, but I was knocked out and immediately understood that this was something that we were really going to succeed in rallying the community around. So delicate and just so beautiful.
In that sort of same world of creators who I can think of that is in this 200-something artists on these 5 discs, is the artist known as Squirrel? That's Jim Jarmusch.
Yeah, and Jim Jarmusch and Carter Logan. And Jim, who had been living in the Catskills, has become a real avid bird watcher, bird listener. And really, it was so funny is that when we got the track listing for the album credits, it was about 14 birds. And, you know, he told me that he had, like, gotten up at dawn to make sure that he got all the birds that he wanted to. And again, it's just Nick Cave, Jim Jarmusch. I mean, they don't necessarily leave the impression of being avid nature lovers, but it really was so inspiring how immersed they became in the language of birds.
That's beautiful. Let's listen to a bit of Squirrel. It's called Dawn Chorus. I just love, you know, I myself have become a lover of birds, and some of that is due to COVID. I've been out in the, taking photographs of birds and flowers and so forth.
Right.
So many of our lives have changed in that way if we are fortunate enough to not have been so damaged by COVID and all the tragedy surrounding it.
Right.
To see some of the beauty surrounding it is
Well, I thought it was very comforting is that, you know, when there was so much that was unknown, right, what we were facing or how long this was going to go on, and you'd look out the window and nature was still doing its thing, you know, and I think that that was a comfort at a time when it was very challenging to find comfort. And to your point as well is that, you know, you come to understand the sort of interconnectivity of all the natural components with, you know, plants and insects and birds and how all of the beautiful ecology that just somehow manages to go through the cycles without our interference and without our human control. And I found that to be very comforting and inspiring.
I wish we could know what the birds thought, like all of a sudden.
Well, the birds, I mean, I will say is that once I had seven pieces and I used to play them over and over with the windows open, and I could swear that the birds were coming over to hear the music, you know. And so, you know, it was, I think that they were both performing, and at points, I'll say that they were my audience as well.
That's great. I wonder if they knew that Terry Riley had done something.
I've let them know.
Do you know what he's doing here? Are these people making noises, or are they actual birds? I wasn't positive.
Yeah, they're birds. They're birds. Terry recorded his piece in Japan, Really, for me, it was, again, such a reinforcement of the mission, getting Terry Riley to participate. Lee Rinaldo, who was one of the executive producers of the collection and is a longtime friend of mine, he reached out to Terry because I thought it was sort of beyond our reach, and he lives, you know, somewhat monastically, I think. And the word we got back is, absolutely, I want to do this. What I love so much about it is this sort of meditative, prayer-like quality of the piece. And I think that so many of the pieces, you really can surrender to them and lose yourself to them and transcend a moment or elevate yourself. And I think that so many of us, having gone through the pandemic or being in the pandemic, really didn't want to go to living our lives exactly the same way we were prior. And paying attention to the birds and the bird song is a very easy way to just sort of elevate, whether it's for a minute or 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You can sort of surrender to it and I think live a little bit more consciously. And I found that audiences or people we've played these songs for really do find a moment of peace in surrendering to the music that's on this collection.
I love this, and particularly the bells that go along with it. Actually, I keep hearing the melody of the Beatles, Within You, Without You, in the melody of these bells. But let's hear a little bit more of this. And for those who don't know Terry Riley, the father of minimalism and so much groundbreaking music, and to use a terrible pun, he's no spring chicken. He's got to be approaching 90, or at least 87, 88 at
right.
this point. Such a brilliant thing to have him part of this collection.
Thank you for saying so.
One of the other things you've done on this is a lot of spoken word, a lot of beautiful writings and readings. How about if we do the Sean Penn? You want to introduce us to the Sean Penn Counting
well,
Birds?
Well, sure, of course. Well, during the year of making this record, I was reading a lot of poetry, reading a lot, period, and drawn to, you know, the use of birds and bird imagery or bird references in the work of various poets, W.S. Merwin, Jim Harrison, Mary Oliver, and thought it would be really a nice way to expand the community by having friends and poets and actors read some of these poems. And this Jim Harrison poem and Sean's reading of it, you know, I would say it might be worth the price of admission in itself. It's just such a dramatic knockout.
Counting Birds by Jim Harrison. As a child fresh out of the hospital with tape covering the left side of my face, I began to count birds. At age 50, the sum total is precise and astonishing, my only secret. Some men count women or cars they've owned, their shirts long-sleeved and short-sleeved or shoes, but I have my birds, excluding, of course, the extraordinary days, the 21,000 snow geese and sandhill cranes at Bosque della Pace, the sky blinded by great frigate birds in the Pacific off Encancito, Ecuador, the 21,000 pink flamingos in Ngorongoro Crater in Tanzania, the vast flocks of seabirds of the Seri coast of the Sea of Cortez down in Sonora that left at nightfall, then reappearing, resuming their exact positions at dawn, 1,000 cliff swallows nesting in the sand cliffs of Pyramid Point, their small round burrows like eyes, really the souls of Anasazi, who flew here 1,000 years ago to wait the coming of Manitou. And then there were the usual, almost deadly birds of the soul, the crow with silver harness I rode one night as if she were a black feathered angel, the birds I became to escape unfortunate circumstances. How the skin ached as feathers shot out toward the light. The thousand birds the dogs helped me shoot to become a bird. Grouse, woodcock, duck, dove, snipe, pheasant, prairie chicken, etc. On my deathbed, I'll write a secret number on a slip of paper and pass it to my wife and two daughters. It will be a hot evening in June, and they might be glancing out the window at the thunderstorms approach from the west. Looking past their eyes and a dead fly on the window screen, I'll wonder if there's a bird waiting for me in the onrushing clouds. O birds, I'll sing to myself, you've carried me along this bloody voyage. Carry me now to that cloud, into the marvel of this final night.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah. So you happen to be reading that, and that is how that came to be, or is that something that Sean Penn picked?
Yeah, no, I you know, in the circumstance, we have 68 poems that are read, and David Kale and John Franzen tell stories. And in some of the situations, you know, people that I talked to about this, they had poems in mind, and otherwise they were open to suggestion. And so I sent this along to Sean and just felt that he would feel it and want to read it.
One of the great storytellers for me in my lifetime has always been Laurie Anderson.
You know, in putting something like this together with so many artists, you could only do it when you had the help of one artist helping lead you to another artist, right? So there were artists here who I was less familiar with, who I was introduced to by other artists. Laurie Anderson is truly just a musical icon of the highest order. And I had heard that she actually lives on Long Island in a house called the Birdhouse. And we were introduced, again, in one of those miraculous situations where this piece of music arrived. It merges music with poetry, but also with the feeling of some ancient lore. I was lucky enough a couple of weeks ago to hear her perform this live at the Birdhouse with some people that we invited over. And it feels like a voice ringing down from the ancients that she's channeling. So it's really quite special.
There's a story in an ancient play about birds called The Birds. And it's a short story from before the world began, from a time when there was no earth, no land, only air and birds everywhere. But the thing was, there was no place to land, because there was no land. So they just circled around and around, because this was before the world began. And the sound was deafening. Songbirds were everywhere. Billions and billions and billions of birds. And one of these birds was a lark. And one day, her father died. And this was a really big problem, because what should they do with the body? There was no place to put the body, because there was no earth. And finally, the lark had a solution. She decided to bury her father in the back of her own head. And this was the beginning of memory. Because before this, no one could remember a thing. They were just constantly flying in circles. Constantly flying. In huge circles.
What a great storyteller.
I think we could ponder that narrative right. For the rest of our lives, I think.
Memory in the back of your head. Yeah. I certainly notice, and I'm sure you have done this, which is that in music, film, whatever it might be, and you mentioned this a little bit, which is, as you were reading, doing readings, how much we use the imagery of birds, the sound of birds, the songs of birds in our art.
Yeah, it's from, you know, from the beginning of time. I mean, from the beginning of expression, man's expression, imitating the birds, picturing the birds. And I think, you know, Rebecca Reagan and I talk a lot about this notion that we are birds. You know, so many of our aspirations are common with the birds, and all different colors and sizes and from all different regions, and yet sharing an ambition to build a safe home and care for their families and finding moments to sing for pleasure or to attract a mate or for protection and warning. But also I think that, you know, in certainly, I guess, in a metaphoric way, this aspiration to fly. You know, I've been asked when I say that, people have said, well, what do you really mean by that? And I describe what I just described. But, you know, if I was a bird, I would be flying all the time. And again, I think that speaks to, you know, human aspirations to sort of transcend and to make the most of the moment.
Let's take a little break. I'm talking with Randall Poster and this new amazing collection called For the Birds, the Birdsong Project. I'm Bob Boylan, and you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan. I'm talking with Randall Poster about For the Birds, the Birdsong Project. You want to pick something for us?
Yeah, there's a song that was made early on by a guy named Josh Kaufman that he made with his partner, Andy Nero, and It's one that I keep coming back to, and I just think it's beautiful, and it touches something within me that is just very very vulnerable, I guess, and it makes me feel better whenever I hear it.
It's called Honey in the Wild. Here we go.
Seasons in your body.
you gotten at all good, Randall, identifying birds yet?
Absolutely not. With the help of, Cornell School of Ornithology, they have an app called Merlin, which is sort of the Shazam of bird song. And so, it's a really terrific device to sometimes pretend that you know what you're listening to, but otherwise I don't. I mean, one of the great joys of this, Bob, and I think you can relate by virtue of the fact that, you know, your forays now into bird watching or bird photography, there's so much to learn. Yeah. And I find that to be really exciting that, you know, here it is in my midlife that there's still, you know, I'm still motivated to learn and that I'm not the expert, that I'm the novitiate, and that we've been lucky enough to surround ourselves with passionate experts. And we're on this educational bird journey that I couldn't be more pleased to be on.
The other thing to add to that is that these are the things that have been around us always.
Yeah.
and yet, for me, doing some macro photography, like looking closer at flowers and so forth, being out in nature where it's safe and COVID-wise, I've been spending a lot of time in it. And then listening to the birds, who I've always heard them, but I've never really, can't say I've quite listen to them the same way I do now.
Right. I feel the same way. And I think part of it, it's born out of the need of our soul to be connected to the world around us and nature, and to hopefully, you know, and to understand that we're part of something that's larger than us. And, you know, we're really one of the, you know, on the box set, which is, you know, 20 LPs and with all original artwork and a 70-page booklet. On the back of the box is the word Sangha, which is community. And Rebecca was very clear that that was an essential component to this undertaking, was to build community. And so we always say, you're part of it. You can be part of it. And we had a lot of people come up to us and say, how do I become part of this artist? And said, you can be part of it. Where I thought I was going to be finishing something in a year, I'm just starting something. Mm. And we're doing bird song events all around the country in 2023 and planning 2024. And we're going to be celebrating the 100th anniversary of an organization called Bird Life in the UK, the bird song event. Jarvis Cocker and Olivia Cheney, two artists who are on the collection, are going to perform. And we're just trying to connect people and communities, and we're trying to connect institutions and the various conservation organizations, and not be political, but just be joined as, you know, members of a community that wants to celebrate the joys of nature, and through that, take whatever action we can collectively to protect nature.
That's beautiful, and the money from this goes toward different organizations?
Yeah, 100% of proceeds from the sales of the music will go to the Audubon Society. And working closely with them, we're trying to support some of the different smaller organizations as well. It's really our intention that we use this to make groups that sometimes seem like they're competing to be aligned. And so far, it's been really well appreciated to bring people together, both as individuals, but also within organizations. You know, nobody wants to see birds die. It's just astounding, really, how diverse and beautiful they are. And also, you know, how incredible some of their journeys are in their migrations and what they have to do to survive, often now with shrinking habitats. So it feels like it's important work, but it really doesn't feel like work. It feels like life.
That's really beautiful. Why don't you take us out on something that you would love us to hear? Because there's there's five volumes. The fourth one comes out top of September.
Right.
And then the fifth one comes out the following month.
If we go out, there's a beautiful song that Karen O performed for us. It's just so delicate and has such a beautiful naivete, yet also has a wonderful prayer and purpose. So Karen made this for us. I'm so appreciative as she was really getting ready to go on the road again with the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. And Nick Zinner also gave us a song, but let's leave it with Karen, who I think puts the feeling out there that we most hope to share.
Beautiful. So this is Hum Hum Hum. Just took a picture of a hummingbird this morning. Small world. Very small world in terms of hummingbirds. And thank
right,
you for this.
Exactly. Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you too. Randall Poster talking about For the Birds, the Bird Song Project. The fifth and final digital installment is out September 30th. The limited edition 20 LP deluxe box set, which includes a 60-page book, including an essay from musician and ornithologist Jonathan Myberg of the band Shearwater. That'll be out in December. I'm Bob Boylan. It's All Bird Songs Considered.
Hum, 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 hummingbird, sipping something sweet. Hum, 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 hummingbird, won't you have a sip with me? Hum, 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 hummingbird, there is no happy hour without the beat of emerald wings. Without your kiss, no foxglove springs. Without the joy your visits bring, I'm lost. So hum, 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 hummingbird, let me be your flower. Oh, hum, 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 hummingbird, don't end this golden hour.
This message comes from NPR sponsor REI Co-op. REI has gear, clothing, classes, and advice for camping and glamping, biking and hiking, axing and snacksing. Visit your local REI co-op or REI.com for the million and one ways to opt outside.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.